Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Getting an annual flu vaccine is the first and best way to protect yourself and your family from the flu. My guest is Dr. H. Deli Davies. He's an internationally recognized expert in pediatric infectious disease and a leader in community health. And he's here to tell us today why it's so important that we not only get the flu shots for our children, but for ourselves so that we can help protect our children. And we'll be talking about boosters that our kids might need now, such as DTaP, pertussis, and tetanus. Welcome to the show, Dr. Davies. Let's start with the flu shot. So what's new this flu season?
Well, you know, I think what's new is that the flu is still around and is still a risk to all children and to pretty much to everybody. And, you know, we really still believe that the best way to prevent it is by vaccination. But what's actually a little bit different this year is that, you know, we had basically two ways of giving the vaccine last year. And this year, we're recommending just one. So last year, we were recommending that you could give it either through the inhaled version through the nose or through the normal injectable. But, you know, we found that there's some evidence that the nasal spray, which is the inhaled version, does not seem to be very effective right now. So until we can be able to figure out why it is working as well, we're not recommending it for this season.
Well, I'll tell you, my kids didn't like the mist anyway, because it's a little bit of a shock when it comes in. They, you know, you kind of like jump, and having the injectable is really so, so easy, and people don't really realize. Now, how do you know, and you must get this question a lot, Dr. Davies, how do you know which flu strains that it's going to protect every year and then thereby making the vaccine so that it applies to those, you know, strains?
So, well, one of the things about influenza is that it changes every year. And, you know, we usually don't see huge changes from year to year in most seasons. But we can get a clue as to what those changes may be because we can look at what's happening, you know, in Asia, which is often the epicenter of influenza, and get a sense, a hint of what particular strains are emerging there, which gives us a little bit of a head start on what might be in the strain the following year. So we're always a little bit behind, but what we try to do is get a sense basically from the previous season and also look around the world and see which strains seem to be emerging, and we make sure we try to cover those at the following season. You know, every now and then, you know, the match is not perfect, and you know, when the match is really bad is when, you know, we have a risk of running, you know, a pandemic that can spread because we're not, you know, we haven't quite gotten it right. But generally speaking, I think the matching has been very good.
That was a great explanation, Dr. Davies, of how that works because people don't really even always understand. So they also say, okay, so if you're looking in Asia and we had that H1N1 everybody freaked out about a few years back and you combine these, are people concerned about the combination of those, you know, strains that you're putting in a vaccine? Do parents ask you if there's a problem putting more than one, you know, vaccine into a shot?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to make very clear is that the vaccine that we give, the injectable vaccine, does not actually contain the flu itself. You know, it contains...
An important point.
Exactly. Contains components of the flu, which are not alive. So there's no risk of getting the flu from the vaccine because there's no flu in it. However, I think your point is that the flus that we do give either have three or four components to them. And that's because basically there are two major parts of the influenza that we use to try to determine what the strain is. It's the H. I'll just give you the name, H and then the N. And those H and N, you know, they have different numbers attached to them, like H1, N1, or H3, N2. And so what we try to do is combine different strains that give us a best chance of covering what we think are the likely strains that may be circulating in the season. So now they're trivalent, which means that they have three different vaccines together, or quadrivalent, which contains four vaccines at any time. that are being given right now. And I think over time, we're probably going to move to the four virus components. The reason we do this is because obviously we want to have the best coverage. You know, there's influenza A and there's influenza B. And typically the trivalent will have two types of the influenza A and one type of the B. And the quadrivalent will have two of each. Now, you asked about the combination and whether there's some concern about combining four vaccines in one or four different strains in one. The answer is that we are exposed to a lot more antigens on a daily basis, all the time through different, you know, just being around, you know, daycare, going on the bus or even in your own home, than we would be exposed to from a single vaccine. Our body is constantly being exposed to different antigens and can certainly handle much more than, you know, the four that we would give in this vaccine. So, no, there's no concern here, and there's been no evidence that giving these vaccines that the body can't somehow cope with that.
So who should get the vaccine? Because we hear that there are some populations that shouldn't be getting it, but then we hear it's a little confusing. So starting at what age and who should be getting the vaccine?
Well, I think pretty much everybody older than 6 months of age is what we would recommend. I mean, that's what the CDC recommends, that everybody who's older than six should be getting the vaccine. And the reason for this is that, you know, we know that there are certain populations that are of higher risk. So children younger than 5 years of age, you know, have a higher risk of getting flu-related complications. And then you have certain populations who have chronic health problems like asthma, diabetes, or infections of the brain or disorders of the brain or nervous system that also have serious risk. The reason we recommend immunizing everybody is that everybody is at risk of getting the flu, even though those groups that I said have a greater risk. But more importantly, we want to make sure that we protect not only ourselves, but we want to protect those around us who may be at high risk. So, you know, by immunizing the general population, the elderly is at risk as well. And, you know, what we then allow is what we call some degree of herd immunity, where we not only protect those who are at high risk, but we also limit the chances that those who are at high risk will not then be around somebody who's got the flu and then get it and be very sick.
So you bring up a good point, because some people say, well, I'm not going to get the flu shot, and if everybody else gets it, there's this herd mentality, which we've heard with vaccinations in general, Dr. Davies, but in the flu particularly, people think if enough people get it, or if their kids, you know, get it, they don't have to worry, or if they get it, they don't have to worry for their kids. So speak about the importance of families getting it in case they have elderly relatives or immune deficient relatives or their children are too young, and why that's so important that they not rely on this herd mentality.
It's very important that everybody who can get the vaccine gets it, because first of all, you know, you're doing yourself a favor. I mean, the flu is not a very pleasant condition even for healthy people. I mean, you're going to lose time away from work, you're going to be very sick at home, and you know, you're going to probably need to be taking a lot of fluids and, you know, ibuprofen or Tylenol. I mean, we generally don't recommend certain, you know, we would not, you may need to be taking some medications for pain, because, you know, you get a lot of achiness, you know, in your body with the flu. So first of all, there's consequence to you as a person. But as you pointed out, many of us are exposed to children, you know, younger than five, and we also expose the elderly. One of the things to say about the elderly in particular is that their response to the flu vaccine is better than nothing, but it's certainly not as good as younger people. And so even though it's highly recommended that we give them the vaccine, it's just as important that those around them do not get the flu, just in case they themselves did not. The vaccine, for whatever reason, was not as effective, because, as you know, as we grow older, our immune system is not as boisterous as it used to be when we were younger. So, you know, absolutely, I think the key thing is to make sure that, you know, we immunize as much of the population as possible, so that if somebody were to get the flu, it would not spread, especially, you know, if you're around, you know, if you're working in a healthcare setting, or if you're around people who have all kinds of underlying problems, that's even more of an impetus to do so.
So when we're talking about getting this vaccine, if you do get it, how long until you are protected? And what sort of flu season are you expecting this year? Are you already seeing, Dr. Davies, are you already seeing a lot of people with the flu? You know, so if people are getting this vaccine now and, you know, just about December, what's that season in?
Okay. So, you know, we typically would like you to start thinking about the flu vaccine in October because, you know, depending on what part of the country you're in or what time, you know, what season, like what year, some years, you know, the flu season begins sooner than later. And the reason we like to start the immunization around October is that we want to try and immunize as many people as possible before the flu season begins. And typically, that flu season, depending on where you are, may begin as early as November. And certainly by December, there's a lot of flu going around. And certainly we're seeing influenza here already. And so typically after we give the vaccine, we usually like to, it takes about 2 weeks in general for the antibodies to develop in the body that helps protect against the influenza. And so, you know, we like to start in October and, you know, the peak season is between December and February, typically. And so, you know, even if you have not received the vaccine now, it is still worthwhile because, you know, you still have time before we hit the full peak of the disease. So it's not too late to get vaccinated. I would still recommend that, you know, families consider it. And this season, we think it's going to be a busier season for influenza, just based on what we're seeing early.
We will continue with our guest and our conversation, but first, a question to you. Are you forgetting things lately, or how about a loved one? We want to tell you about a brand new book called Memory Rescue that has just been published that could really help you. Let's hear from its author.
Hi, I'm Dr. Daniel Amen, author of a new book called Memory Rescue. Memory Rescue teaches you how to prevent future problems, but if you're having memory problems now, how to rescue it, how to get it back so that everything in your life can be better. Plant the habits that I talk in your life. I know it'll make a dramatic difference for you and for those you love.
It's important that you receive this information. Get your copy of Memory Rescue by Dr. Daniel Amen. Learn more at memoryrescuebook.com. That's memoryrescuebook.com. Now back to Melanie Cole and Healthy Children.
Some kids have to get two doses, and how far apart should they be?
Okay, so we ask that children who are between the ages of 6 months and 8 years of age get two doses. And usually, you know, the two doses, we recommend that if you're getting it for the first time between those two ages, you need to get two doses. Or if you're within those two ages and you only received a single dose previous season, then you should get two doses. After that, you only need to get one dose. So we usually give one dose, and then we give the second dose about a month later, about 28 days later. And the reason is that we really believe, you know, that there's evidence that the first dose does what we call primes the immune system. It gets it sort of ready. And then the second dose is what we call a booster that then allows basically much more antibodies to be produced. And once your body has seen those two doses, in subsequent years, you don't need to give any second dose.
Dr. Davies, we only have a few minutes left, but if somebody does get sick, what do you recommend, and how do they know that it's the flu they've got and not just a cold?
Well, you know, typically with a cold, you have a runny nose. I mean, you may have maybe a bit of a low-grade fever, but typically you don't have a fever at all. And generally, the rest of your body feels fine. You just feel, you know, it's mostly all around your nose and maybe your throat from what we call post-nasal dripping by lying down and having the cold run down the back of your throat. When you wake up, you feel like you have to cough it up. With influenza, not only do you may or may not have the runny nose, but you just feel crummy. I mean, your body, your muscles are sore. You may or may not have diarrhea. You generally feel tired. Typically, you'll have a fever, either a low or a high-grade fever. And, you know, you just, basically, your energy is just totally zapped. And, of course, with influenza, there's risk of getting complications. That could include things like pneumonia, ear infection, and other sort of complications that could occur with influenza. So, typically, the influenza is what we call, it's more systemic. It means that, you know, your whole body just feels really, you know, not the same. You just, you know, you may have chills, like shaking chills or rigors, just from, you know, a sense of just being very cold. So it's a much more significant disease than the common cold, which basically you're just blowing your nose all day long. And, you know, but generally speaking, the rest of your body feels fine. Not always easy to sort them out. Sometimes, you know, because not all the flu at the beginning is as severe as I described it. It may just start off as seeming like the common cold. But certainly, if anybody has any of those symptoms that I just described, it's important to see a healthcare provider earlier than later, because there might be, you know, especially for certain populations, opportunity to get some treatment.
So now let's just talk very briefly about booster shots, because as our kids are getting the flu shot, and you've explained how, you know, what to do if we get the flu, stay home from work, school, wash your hands, you know, we understand all of those kinds of things that we need to do to keep ourselves safe. And some of us are a little bit more, you know, fastidious about that than others. I mean, some of us use the little hand thing at the grocery store and whatever, but there are booster shots for other vaccinations, and DTaP, you know, pertussis and tetanus being one of them. Just speak about when kids should get that booster and what we should ask our physician.
Well, you know, there's, you know, we start off with DTaP at the younger age, and then at age 11 or 12, we start giving the Tdap, and they're a little bit different. The Tdap has more of the tetanus and less of the diphtheria in it. And usually we start giving that routinely at about age 11 or 12. And then, you know, typically we say you should be giving a booster every 10 years. Now, there is one exception, and that is now we're asking that, you know, with every pregnancy, because what we're learning is that pregnant women in particular have a significant risk of their baby getting whooping cough. And the greatest risk for having significant complications, you know, really bad brain damage or significant mortality is in the first 6 months of life. So now we're asking that every pregnant woman get Tdap with every pregnancy that they have. And that's really primarily because of the AP part is acellular pertussis. So for the Tdap, the T is for tetanus, the D is for diphtheria, and then the AP is for acellular pertussis, which means that there's no actual pertussis in the vaccine. It's just components of it, just similar to what I described with the flu. So, yeah, we ask for a booster every 10 years because even though we don't see much tetanus and diphtheria, the reason we don't see it is because we're immunizing. And in countries that are not doing this, they still continue to see those two conditions.
That's such an important point, Dr. Davies, is that people do say with all the vaccination controversies, which in my mind, there is no controversy. People say, well, we don't see those diseases anymore. Well, vaccines are why we don't see them anymore. And that's such a hard message to impart to some people. But Dr. Davies, wrap it up for us. I would like your best, most succinct advice to the listeners about why it's so important that they get these boosters for their children, that they stick to the vaccination schedule set out by the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics, and why this year is always a good year to get your flu vaccine.
So, you know, I think influenza immunization is by far the best possible way of preventing influenza in children every year. And I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, for children under 5 years of age, that could be 7,000 to 26,000 children every year who actually are hospitalized because of influenza. And, you know, we don't see a lot of deaths, but, you know, we can have up to 100 deaths every year, or even sometimes, you know, close to 200 deaths from the flu. So this is not something that's trivial. And the reason we want everybody immunized is we want to protect everybody from this really potentially lethal condition, especially in the elderly, where We actually have literally thousands and thousands of people who are hospitalized, and actually it's one of the leading causes of death in the elderly. So whatever we can do to prevent and protect the whole population, we want to do. And by far, one of the most important things we can do is the annual influenza vaccine.
Thank you so much, Dr. Davies. And people can get more information on the CDC website or on the American Academy of Pediatrics website, that's aap.org, or their consumer website, healthychildren.org. And that's where you can get that great information. But of course, you are also listening to it right here on Radio MD. You can rate and review on iTunes. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. And we are giving you this information from these experts in easy to listen to, fun to listen to, and understandable and even entertaining podcasts that you can download. You can play in your car on iHeartRadio and iTunes. You can listen on your phone. And this is the way we're getting from these experts, from the American Academy of Pediatrics, the best information out there. And that is absolutely what you need to do. So share this show. It's so important. Share it with your friends. Put it on your social media and get it all around, because it's important that we all hear this great information that AAP is putting out. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.